Beowulf, translated by Francis B. Grammaire. 39. The bloody swath of Swedes and Geats and the storm of their strife were seen afar, how folk against folk the fight had wakened. The ancient king, with his atheling band, sought his citadel, sorrowing much. Ongithal, earl, went up to his burg. He had tested Hygelac's hardihood. The proud one's prowess would prove it no longer, defied no more those fighting wanderers, nor hoped from the seamen to save his hoard, his bairn, and his bride. So he bent him again, old, to his earth walls. Yet after him came with slaughter for Swedes the standards of Hygelac, or peaceful plains in pride advancing, till wrethlings fought in the fenced town. Then Ongithal, with edge of sword, the hoary bearded, was held at bay, and the folk king there was forced to suffer Ealhfor's anger. In ire at the king, Wulf Wadreding, with weapon struck, and the chieftain's blood for that blow in streams flowed neath his hair. No fear felt he, stout old Skyfling, but straightway repaid in better bargain that bitter stroke, and faced his foe with full intent. Nor swift enough was the son of Wanred answer to render the aged chief. Too soon on his head the helm was cloven, blood bedecked he bowed to earth and fell adown. Not doomed was he yet, and well he waxed, though the wound was sore. Then the hardy Hygelac thane, when his brother fell with broad bands, smote giant's sword crashing through giant's helm across the shield wall, sank the king, his folk's old herdsman, fatally hurt. There were many to bind the brother's wounds and lift him, fast, as fate allowed his people to wield the place of war. But Ealhfor took from Ongenthal, earl from other, the iron breastplate, hard sword-hilted and helmet too, and the hoar-chief's harness to Hygelac carried, who took the trappings and truly promised, rich fee mid-folk, and fulfilled it so. For that grim strife gave the Geatish lord Hrethel's offspring, when home he came to Ealhfor and Wulf, a wealth of treasure. Each of them had 100,000 in land and linked rings, nor at less price reckoned mid-earth men such mighty deeds. And to Ealhfor he gave his only daughter in pledge of grace, the pride of his home. Such is the feud, the foeman's rage, death-hate of men. So I deem it sure that the Swedish folk will seek us home for this fall of their friends, the fighting Skalflings. When once they learn that our warrior leader lifeless lies, who land and hoard ever defended from all his foes, furthered his folk's weal, finished his course a hardy hero. Now haste is best, that we go to gaze on our Geatish lord, and bear the bountiful breaker of rings to the funeral pyre. No fragments merely shall burn with the warrior. Wealth of jewels, gold untold and gained in terror, treasure at last with his life obtained, all of that booty the brands shall take, fire shall eat it. No earl must carry memorial jewel, no maiden fair shall wreathe her neck with noble ring. Nay, sad in spirit and shorn of her gold, oft shall she pass o'er paths of exile, now our lord all laughter has laid aside, all mirth and revel. Many a spear mourning cold shall be clasped amain, lifted aloft, nor shall lilt of harp those warriors wake, but the wan-hued raven, fain o'er the fallen, his feast shall praise and boast to the eagle how bravely he ate when he and the wolf were wasting the slain. So he told his sorrowful tidings, and little he lied, the loyal man of word or of work. The warriors rose sad. They climbed to the cliff of eagles, went, welling with tears, the wonder to view. Found on the sand there, stretched at rest, their lifeless lord, who had lavished rings of old upon them. Ending day had dawned on the doughty one. Death had seized in woeful slaughter the Weeder's king. There saw they, besides, the strangest being, loathsome, lying their leader near, prone on the field. The fiery dragon, fearful fiend with flame, was scorched. Reckoned by feet, it was 50 measures in length as it lay. Aloft, erewhile, it had reveled by night, and anon came back, seeking its den. Now in death's sure clutch, it had come to the end of its earth-hall joys. By it there stood the stoops and jars, dishes lay there, and deer-decked swords eaten with rust as on earth's lap resting. 1,000 winters they waited there. For all that heritage huge, that gold of bygone men, was bound by a spell, so the treasure's hall could not be touched by none of humankind, save that heaven's king, God himself, might give him whom he would, helper of heroes, the hoard to open, even such a man as seemed to him meet. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.